Taste of Country Nights with Evan Paul on demand. This episode is a big one. We got a twofer for you. We have an interview with Luke Bryan that we did right before his first concert with Jason Aldean in Georgia. Then Riley Green is checking in with us on this episode.
Howdy, howdy.
Good. All right. I asked Jason questions about you, and we're gonna ask same questions. Tell me about the first time you met Jason Aldean.
We met in Knoxville at WIVK. Is that right? WIVK. And we had toured our whole life together, touring the same college bars in Georgia. Same college bars, same circuits. We used to joke they would tear my poster down and put his up, you know. And we met in Knoxville. And then after that, we started really crossing paths. You know, I started opening for him. We started crossing paths. And then we got into Buck Command together. We started hunting a lot. So, yeah, and it's been an amazing journey.
Do you remember a moment where you were like, all right, this guy's going to actually be my friend?
Well, one of the moments was I had won an ACM award or got nominated, and I was touring with him. I think I was up for Best New Artist, and I told him I got nominated. I mean, he flew up off the couch, just hugged me, fired up, high-fiving, like that good news happened to him. And I remember thinking, man, this is what it's about. This guy's a good dude. And since then we've done these careers separately and together, and we've done nothing but try to have fun with this stuff.
You and Jason are going out to dinner tomorrow night. Who's paying?
We'll probably do a little credit card roulette or something, you know, throw them in the hat.
What's something about Jason that his fans don't know or would appreciate?
I think his fans, they need to know that I'm working on his golf grip. He's got a baseball grip for his golf game.
Oh, he doesn't even lock.
He doesn't interlock, overlap, nothing, which is, I cannot witness it anymore. So I'm going to start working on that. If you're with Jason, he doesn't drink margaritas. He just shoots tequila.
Okay.
And that's a problem. So yeah, I've learned to just not. I do the old throw the tequila behind, you know. I don't know. He's got a tequila tank in there somewhere that he can hide it in.
Tell me about Songs About Us and what attracted you to it and how you got the news and decided. You know.
Yeah, he sent it to me the good old fashioned way. He texted it to me and said, I got a song that I'm kind of hearing us be on, Yeah, I mean, I kind of live with it, and I just love what it said, and we kind of broke it down, went to the studio, and laid it out. I love what the song says. It really, you know, he and I grew up same background, so when we hear these songs that speak to us, they're he and I are probably, you know, I think, you know, our CD, you know, whatever our CDs that we rode around in our trucks with as young boys probably looked almost the same.
Did you guys ever fight over a song?
You know, we never, through the years there, like when I heard Big Green Tractor for the first time, I was really heartbroken that I didn't hear that first. And then I think, he had heard That's My Kind of Night, and I'd already had it on hold and cut it. So, but we've never really had like a big song duel.
You guys are going to be headlining our Taste of Country Fest in Buffalo. Jordan Davis will be there. Yeah. What are the odds of getting you two on stage to sing By Dirt?
Well, I'll have to get with Jordan. You know, I know he does it in a set, and it's whether I want to come out and do it. And then we may just wind up doing it twice. How about that? That sounds good. Two for one.
My mom believes that Jordan McCullough is going to win American Idol.
I never look at the votes. It's always a surprise to me, but he is definitely in the hunt. Murfreesboro guy, so pretty cool how good he's doing.
And tell me about Country and She Knows It, and, you know, will you be upset if this doesn't make it to number one?
Well, I'm never upset. I mean, I've been so blessed with songs. I mean, my main focus Do the fans love it? Do they want to dance to it? Do the girls want to get dressed up and go line dancing and go to honky tonks and clubs and nightclubs and blast it? And whatever do I, whatever I can do to not look 49 years old. I hope that's what that song does.
And finally, Jason Aldean said he liked hanging out with your mom more than you.
He does. My mother cusses at Jason from time to time. You know, Jason, they used to share cigarettes. They don't do that anymore because Jason's a quitter. He quit cigarettes, but he didn't like my mother's menthols anyway. But maybe if Jason just in a desperate moment, he may fire another heater up with my mother. So,
well, dude, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. And we have a special bonus on this episode. We got Riley Green checking in. What's up, dude?
Man, I can't hear nothing you're saying. Y'all got this dude muted, so muted.
Hello, hello.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, dude?
I don't know, man. Just hanging out.
Man, okay. What's been the most unexpected thing that's come from this partnership with Hey Dude? Like, what did you not expect that's, like, awesome?
Well, you know, a lot of partnerships are kind of like work, you know, and you go to a content day and it's like really scheduled and it's really strict. And this is a really laid back bunch. We just get to go hit golf balls into the ocean and go fishing. And, you know, I mean, stuff I would be doing on my off time anyway. So it's like a haycation out here.
What? Tell me about the actual shoe that you're a part of, man. And like, how did it come about and describe it to everybody?
Well, I was probably like most people. I didn't know how many different types of shoes they have. The stretch sock, when I got on, I wore them a lot. That's like a real light, laid back, kind of like go fishing, golfing, walking around, go to the beach kind of shoe. So that's the one I usually grab onto. But they've got all kind of shoes. It's you got to go check them out if you haven't seen more than just what you are familiar with.
Where's the most Riley Green place you've worn some Hey Dudes?
Definitely the farm back in Alabama. That's I used to wear boots all over the place at the farm, and now I'm walking around feeding the cows and horses in Hey Dudes.
Thanks, Bob. I want to talk about like your tour and being out on the road. Like, what's something at a show recently that's been a couple things? What's something that's been like heartwarming that's happened, whether it's at a show or at a meet and greet? And then has anything crazy happened lately, like you've been hit in the face again with an iPhone or something that we don't know about?
No, y'all would know if that happened again. That was national news there for a couple of days. We had a show in Dallas last week, and I did a baby reveal during the show. I don't usually read a lot of the signs, but these people were right in the front. And, I got to tell them they were having a little boy and she was crying and it was a whole moment. So that was a pretty cool little deal. And it's hard to top getting hit with a phone in Australia. That's still been the craziest moment of the year so far. I hope we don't top it this year, actually.
Okay. You're up for a bunch of ACMs, man. Congrats, dude. You've won a lot of accolades in the past. Have any of the actual trophies gone anywhere crazy like the Stanley Cup? You know, everybody gets a day with the Stanley Cup and some people take it to the top of the Empire State, but have you taken any of your awards anywhere crazy?
No, but that's a good idea. I think I'm probably scared somebody's gonna run off with it. I don't let anybody else take them. I've got them, a couple of them at my house in Nashville, and I've got a couple of them at my farm in Alabama. And I've got a lot of plaques and some really cool stuff I've been able to get over the last few years in country music in my career. But that's something that everybody, when they comes in and sees it, like, that's a big deal. You know, an ACM award or a CMA award, they don't just hand those out.
Do you dust them or are they like in fully encompassed in glass?
They came with those like white gloves, you know, like Mickey Mouse gloves to keep them from getting fingerprints on them. So, yeah, I've got them up on the – I'll put it like this. They're right up there with my deer heads. So
oh, that's a big deal. Did I lock up? Oh, there we go. Okay, you and Ella are both nominated. Yeah, I know, right? You don't mess with me. You and Ella are both nominated for Songwriter of the Year. Has there been any trash talk between the two?
No, I mean, between – Don't mind if I do, and you like you love me. Me and her have had a lot of success together in the last couple of years, so I'm so happy to see how she's doing in country music. And it's so tough for a new artist to really break through, especially a female artist. And what she's done in the last year or so is pretty amazing. And to see another artist from Alabama winning like that, we got a lot of pride in where we're from. So I'm really happy for her. And that's probably the most meaningful nomination to me is songwriter, just because I've always kind of considered myself a songwriter first, so I'm excited about that.
And speaking of your songwriting, I know you're working on some new stuff. What's going to be different on the new project that maybe your fans wouldn't expect?
Well, there's some collaborations on this project that I didn't even expect. So, some of those things where you just kind of pinch yourself moments when you get artists that you're such a big fan of and you grew up listening to be a part of your project. So I'm sure I can't name any names, but there's some really, really awesome collaborations on this record.
Is there more pressure nowadays to do collaborations and include them, or is it kind of just whatever the song lends itself to?
I've never felt any pressure to have any collaborations. I mean, you back up a handful of years ago, and I didn't know anybody that was famous, so there were no collaborations in my career. And now I've had several, and I've been really fortunate to have some really big hits with other artists. So for me, it's kind of still awesome that I got these people's phone number, and I can call them and send them a song, and that they're a fan of what I'm doing. It's so great when things like that happen organically, just through relationships.
What people are, I mean, would you and Ella Langley ever do a duets album or an EP or entertain that? Because I mean, you're two for two, you know?
I don't know how we wouldn't entertain that. I mean, with a track record like we've had, and we were so fortunate to be on tour together too. She was out on the road with me when we had those
Yeah.
two songs, and that doesn't happen
Crazy.
very often. So I'm pretty open to any collaborations at this point because they've worked out pretty well for me in the past.
Okay, so it's not off the table for a whole duets project.
I don't see why it would be. I'm Again, and it there was a several years there when it was all the Georgia artists, Luke Bryan and Brantley Gilbert, Cole Swindell and Jason Aldean, all these guys that were, topping the charts, Florida Georgia Line, and there weren't any Alabama folks really making it. So it's nice to see Alabama winning for a change.
Hell yeah, man. On to Marshall's real quick. Were you able to take anything from the set? Like I think Lainey Wilson took a bar of soap or something. I don't know. Were you able to take anything from the Marshall set?
I tried to steal all kind of stuff. They checked me, man. They made me go through that, like wand me on the way out almost. We had a little trailer on the set, and they'd give me the clothes that I was wearing. And I don't guess I got away with anything, but hopefully they'll have me back or some show will, and I can steal a souvenir.
Have you been able to tell Tim McGraw personally that he inspired you to get into acting?
I haven't, but I look forward to talking to him again. He's a lot like me on the road, pretty busy, but also with his acting career, which is, far beyond what I've just kind of started doing. He's probably spread pretty thin too, but hopefully we'll cross paths soon and I can tell him how inspirational it was for me to get to talk to him about it.
That's cool, man. Will you be able to tell us if you're gonna be? Have you auditioned for anything, or is there anything you'd like to be in next?
I've done a few more reads and there's some things that we're looking at now. Conversations are definitely started. This certainly was a great kind of entryway for me into that world. One of the biggest obstacles for me right now is scheduling. When you're in the middle of a tour, it's hard to go, cut loose and go film a movie. But I'd love to do some more stuff in that Western lifestyle. I think that's such a great tie-in with country music and certainly something that I'm pretty passionate about. And maybe a sports movie. That'd be fun. A remake of Varsity Blues or something like that. I think I'd enjoy that.
That would be good. Who would you be? Would you be Moxon?
Have to be Jonathan Moxon, wouldn't you think?
Let's see. I think that's about all I got, man.
Devin, good, always good talking to you, buddy.
You're the man. Appreciate you, Riley.
Appreciate
Have a
it.
good one.
Yes, sir. See
All
you.
right.
All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this pair of interviews here, which both were a lot of fun for me.
Luke Bryan was a lot of fun. Bummed it got shortened a little bit. He was in a rush and you only got, maybe 6, 7, 8 minutes with him. Would have loved to have more time to hear him talk a little bit about the Jason Aldean and kind of go down memory lane with him.
Yeah, so what happened with that, I was supposed to get 15 minutes, I believe, and they came to me like right before, a little bit before, and said Luke was running a little late this morning getting here, and unfortunately he has a time where he has to leave by to go promote the show that they were about to do in Georgia with Jason Aldean. So we're going to cut your time in half. And I was like, okay, like, what are you going to do?
It's always a hard thing, you know, and this happens fairly frequently across all media, right? You're promised an hour and then it's 45 and then they get there and it's 30. And then you get to 20 minutes and they're tapping on the watch telling you to wrap it up because they got to get to the next. You know, that's just kind of the nature of the game. But in real time, the hard part about that is you have to kind of make cuts to your questions. Like, okay, I'm only going to ask one American Idol question. I'm going to cut any questions I might have had about his wife and kid. You know, I mean, see, it makes the job pretty challenging.
Yeah, definitely. You nailed it on that. And especially when they give you like the one minute left and you know, you want to get two in there, but you know, say the person's talking a lot and you're like, oh man, that's the other thing, is it all just depends also on how talkative the person is. Like, I literally could have asked Luke Bryan one question and if it took him 7 minutes to answer, that's all I get to ask him, you know? So it's really a crapshoot that you have to adjust on the fly.
This happens a lot when we do the CMA Radio Row. Well, they'll give us the wrap-up signal. We'll ask one more question, and the artist, unaware of any time constraints, will start talking for 2-3 minutes, and the person's there standing on the other side of the camera trying to give you the wrap-up signal. It's like, what do you want me to do? Wrap up his answer? You know?
And while we got the curtain peeled back, the funniest part about moments like that is that they rush you because they have to go to the next thing. But the artist is like, for lack of better terms, like a poodle, in the sense of they see another artist that they know and they both go barking at each other and start talking. And next thing you know, they're talking for 10 minutes and, you know, someone else is shorted time. It's just kind of how it works, you know, especially when you get all the country artists together in one room. It's like you almost have to have time set aside for all of them to schmooze with each other because they don't get to see each other that often.
Jake Owen was famous for that, you know, that between room banter. Charles Kelly, also very chatty.
Okay, okay.
You know, there's a couple artists, they just see friends and they kind of, they're tough to wrangle. Low Cash, yeah, also likes to hang out and chat with people, and which is great. It's a fun, casual conversation. So you're caught between this, like, trying to just be a nice guy and catch up with a friend, and like also wanting to be respectful of the overall sanctity of the media junket.
Dude, yeah. One time I saw at one of those, I saw Marty from Shenandoah started talking to one of the guys that sings Elvira.
Oak Ridge Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two started talking to each other and it took forever.
Oh yeah.
Their people were looking around like, is this happening right now?
Right. Right. And you know, and then through all of this, like, what if in that last question, the artist says something that elicits a follow-up? Like, you're trying to manage all of this, but also be in the moment enough to have a conversation and not make it an interrogation. So like, wait, hold on. What did you say? You got a new song coming? You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. You have to like almost, you can't just ignore it. So then you could be there another minute and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's, well, a lot of times the bigger the celebrity, obviously the less time you get, but there are those rare cases where there will be a huge celebrity and, you know, they'll stick it out. They'll, you know, sometimes their people might be like 10 minutes. I mean, and they'll be like, they'll stay longer because they got more on their mind or they're in the moment, you know. So it really all just, it just depends. It's just a big cliff to jump off of. But man, it's fun.
I tell you what I always kind of wonder with artists like Luke, Jason Aldean, Blake Shelton, I mean, Carrie Underwood, Miranda Lambert, certainly in this category, artists who have been just doing it at a high level for so long. Like, when you release a new album, like, how do you sort of make it just not another album? You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, you almost have to change direction slightly or reinvent your career to kind of keep that excitement for the next phase. And that's got to be almost as hard as breaking in country music, is kind of managing that pivot mid-career.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know who we recently had? Amy Grant said it best when she was talking. She was talking about how she started out in bars and then ended up, you know, doing arenas. And now she, on the back end, she's doing small venues and, you know, more intimate shows. And I feel like that's how you do it with grace. You know, you don't try to continue to, you know, I don't know. And with ticket prices nowadays, it's like, I just feel like every artist should just live stream a concert.
It's not the worst idea in the world, but you know who I think's done this really well is Miranda Lambert. We're kind of seeing it in real time where she, you know, she doesn't have like your traditional radio promo team. I mean, she does and she doesn't. She's signed to a major label, but they're not working her singles. Like, she doesn't even really have a single at the current moment. And trying to run them up the charts. For her, it's more about like these great albums, these artistic statements, maybe a Grammy or a CMA. But she's also very, very locked into what's happening with modern country music and the women of country music. And she's helping them, i.e. Ella Langley. And we saw that at the ACM Awards last week.
Yeah, Miranda's awesome. Yeah, I feel like she's taking on that role for these the younger artists, you know, the mama role, you know, and they need it. They all need it. You always need someone older than you that's been through it to help you out. So, you know, it's good because Miranda can still relate to like an Ella Langley better so than I would say, you know, like, I don't know, a Judd or Dolly or something, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so I think that Miranda is, you're right, stepping into that role and doing really good at it.
I think you have to kind of maintain a grip on what's relevant. And we're all going to lose it, man, right? You're going to be like a 75-year-old radio DJ, and you're going to probably lose your grip on like what the kids are doing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be talking about how, like, oh, Luke Bryant is better than this young whippersnapper. We'll have our own LeBron versus Jordan conversation with regards to, like, you know.
I'd love to say I'd be retired by 75, but that will never happen.
Yeah, but just maintaining sort of, so that's what it does for, I think, like, Miranda is, like, you maintain that grip on what's relevant, and it just kind of furthers your career to the extent that you want it, but you also kind of have a little bit of more playtime.
I bet helps her is having that that boy toy at home. You know, keeps her young.
Yeah, that might help her feel young.
Like, she knows all the lingo and stuff, you know? She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she might. I mean, the kid's not, I don't think Brandon's that, what is it, a 6-year gap somewhere in there?
Oh, I don't know.
But he has a kid, remember? He's got like a 5 or 6-year-old kid, so another 5 or 6 years old, that kid's going to have the lingo.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It's like, I know what the kids are saying today. Like, they say, like, I'm cooked. That's a big one. Everybody's cooked.
Yeah, I don't think we need to take the podcast to the...
I'm just saying the youth keeps...
It made me think... but look at Miranda and look at Blake. Both of them are step parents in their prime right now.
What was the format for the Riley Green? Was this a Zoom, a video call?
It was a Zoom. Yeah, he's got a new line with Hey Dude Shoes.
Oh yeah.
So they I zoomed with him. He was in a Hey Dude store. They had it all like set up with. It was cool. I don't know. It was cool.
Does he look pretty good? I mean, this was before the ACMs, was he? Did he seem like he was doing well?
Yeah, he seemed like he was doing good and excited, you know, walking around, making videos, content for Hey Dude. I think it was before a show in Austin. And yeah, you know, he's buff as usual, man, doing his deal.
He's very, very in shape. He's like Tim McGraw in shape, isn't he? No, not quite there yet. Okay. Well, he's got at least.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Tim McGraw. I mean, you know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Parker McCollum. Maybe Parker McCollum in shape.
Yeah. I mean, Kit Moore is pretty beefed up. We saw him lately.
Oh, he's coming up, isn't he? What do we got him next week?
Yeah, so we have Kit Moore next week. That's right, with Alana Springsteen, not related to Bruce. I will not make that joke in the interview at all. Don't worry. And then we also have Bailey Zimmerman coming up, Kelsey Hart, Clint Black. It will be on the podcast in the next couple weeks. So, you know, just subscribe and comment and keep us right here in your thoughts and prayers. Taste of Country Nights on demand.